The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Man in Lines now on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say about whatever's on your mind simply by calling 66 13 68. Text 166 177. WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Need to do is get in touch, and the health minister says the future of Cummel Moor remains a Clare priority despite not having a timeline to progress the project. That was Clare Christian. You heard Ewan McGuinness, one of the Ramsey commissioners, isn't too happy about the lack of progress, actually the lack of the plan for progress for the future for Cummel Moor in Ramsey. That and anything else, and as I mentioned, Dr. Allenson told a Timwell committee that spending pressures, including during COVID, have reduced our reserves. And the government wants to rebuild the level of reserves to what was held a decade ago, meaning we have less money in the bank. Anything else on your mind? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. And David's with us now first. Hi, David.
Hi, mate. We've all got less money in the bank. Never mind. We survive. But I just want to draw to your attention. I've sent you the document that was given to me this morning.
Right.
From the plumbers organisations and a number of plumbers on the Isle of Man regarding cutting of training at the college. And I just couldn't believe where, people bear with me a second. So it says from the college there, please be aware that the amateur of training services, we're having to cut funding for G3, and that's the code there is unvented hot water qualifications for apprentices in their third year of training. I just can't believe the training division, never mind who's responsible for the training section. Is it the Minister for the Starship Enterprise up there? Why they're actually doing that? Because can imagine you start an apprenticeship and in your third year you can't get the qualification.
Well, you would think they'd have spoken to the employers. I'm looking at the email now. As you said, it's G3 UVHW qualifications that would normally take place at the end of the apprentice's third year.
Yeah,
training services have cut the money.
I can't believe, and it's quite right, like you say, we're all suffering a little bit with expenses, aren't we? But you would assure that education and the college and the future of our young fellas who are going to be left with doing these things, you can't put an unvented hot water cylinder in unless you've got a registration and a qualification.
But the thing is, David, this is a three-year course, so it means the last year's course, the last year bit, isn't... You would have thought they'd thought of that before when they started.
Yeah, and you would think, you would think that someone would get involved in some of the manufacturers, of the appliances and stuff like that, and say, "Well, what can you do to assist us?" We're not begging for it, but there's all sorts of companies that would come in and say, "Look, we'll run the course for a couple of months or whatever. We could do it online. All sorts of stuff can be done online now, but the final test, I suppose, would have to be done locally to certificate them all." But anyway, can I just have a little flip to Cummel Moor?
Yes, by all means.
I was involved in government for on the health service side for sheltered units and stuff like that. But before 2016, when I didn't get back in there, the report that was done, I was involved in that report regarding anything. And I have to praise the commissioners. I don't know the guy greatly anyway. I must meet him sometime anyway. But I must praise him for raising this particular issue. Because when I was there and the report that I'd seen, and I'd been up and had a look at the place there, they were dragging, well, they weren't dragging people, they were helping people to get to a bath that was down the corridor, which was shared. They didn't have a hoist for people who were struggling to have a wash and stuff like that. And the place is not fit for purpose. And that's, we're going back to 2016 there. So what have they been doing? What's, I mean, it's a government facility there.
Yeah.
They would expect private ones to be up to scratch.
You bet. Well, put it this way, if private ones weren't up to scratch, they'd have something to say about it.
Yeah. And then the other one was, too, I want to flip to, don't forget, Retina Bay. What's happening with that? Is it in the government's portfolio? Are they going to sell it? Are they going to move it on? Are they going to create something else?
Well, every time I've raised it, they kind of look at me knowingly with a kind of nod and a wink. So I think something's in the planning stage, but we don't quite know what.
Well, would they tell the population? You know, and that's the end of the day. They've got to carry us with us. We're the ones to provide the money for them. To go into the system there. And the final thing for me today, and I'm going to have a quick whinge at the beginning of the week, is M&Co. What's happening with that building down there? We own it. I looked the other day when somebody said to me, oh, I think it was you that said that all the stuff that's on the roof, bags and muck and crap and stuff like that. What are we doing with it? Why isn't somebody using it or sell it on?
Mm. Well, you would think you would think somebody would want to do something with it. All right. Thanks for calling, David.
Cheers, boy.
Good to hear from you. We'll hear from Joe McGuinness fairly shortly. But yes, that's the story David's raised about the fact that as of this academic year, training services, government training services, have cut the funding for G3 UVHW unvented hot water qualifications that would normally take place at the end of an apprentice's third year of training. This is a message that's been sent to the companies. If you'd like them to achieve the G3 accreditation, you will need to fund it yourself when they're on the Isle of Man. Well, there we are. And who'd have thought that? Who'd have thought that the government will be doing that? The future of Cummel Moor, yes, well, no real priorities. It's been more than, 2 years since plans to close Cummel Moor were put in on hold by the department. It was during Mr Hooper's time as Health Minister, it was confirmed plans to replace the facility were on track. That was March last year. But in January this year, Ms Christian revealed progress had slowed down. Now, Claire Christian says DHSC doesn't have a fixed date to bring forward a financial motion for the project, but insists it is firmly on the agenda. Without a date. The original plan was for a 45-bed residential home and a day centre, but Claire Christian's confirmed again that Manx Care are now reviewing the design to align with the government's Home First model. The updates cause frustration in the north, some residents saying that it highlights a lack of investment in the north of the Isle of Man. And the other Ramsey MHK, Dr. Allenson, who of course is our Treasury Minister, has said that the government wants to rebuild our level of reserves, the cash that we hold in reserve. Dr. Allenson told a Tynwald committee that the aim is to restore them to previous levels.
We have, on the Isle of Man, been in the fortunate position of having significant reserves for a long period of time, but those have had to be drawn down on over the last couple of years, particularly in terms of some of the economic pressures that were faced with us. And we haven't got back to the situation necessarily of being able to put money back into those reserves. There are a couple of ways of doing that. One, obviously, is by generating interest on the reserve, and then reinvesting that. The other is actually exceeding income over expenditure and being able to pay money back in. What we've seen recently by looking at the investment profile is we've managed to grow the reserves. The question is, we're in real terms, whether we can get back to the way reserves were before in 2018-19, and that's certainly our intention. It's important we have reserves. It's also really important, though, that we manage to finance government expenditure not at the expense of the local economy. So it's trying to get that balance right. But I'm fairly confident that with the plans we've got, we can stabilise reserves, which we have done, and then start building those up again in the near to medium term.
there we are. We need the money. We'll hopefully get the money. A message in yesterday, this came just a little too late to fit in, 680, said, I've looked, we were talking about cyclists and pedestrianised areas and this, that and the other. I've looked, but I can't find any signs indicating that Strand Street, Castle Street and Duke Street are pedestrian areas. Is that true? Or are we just taking it for granted? Thank you for that message. Are there signs at the end of Strand Street stating that it is a pedestrian zone? That's Trevor with that. Well, if you're in Strand Street, Duke Street or Castle Street and you spot a sign, could you just snap a photo of it and WhatsApp it to me on 166177? It will be nice to know if it is. And by the way, before anybody says, this is not a go against cyclists, this is a go against naughty cyclists, uncivic cyclists. Just like we talk about people who litter, people who drop litter, who drop fag ends, who drop pop tins, people who let their dog mess and don't clear it up, people who drive carelessly. Nothing about cyclists, it's just the cyclists who don't observe the courtesy of the road and certainly the courtesy of the pavement to other people. So by all means, do get in touch if you know whether it is pedestrianised. Why on earth, says Tony, would you let somebody get to their third year and then cut the funding for the exam? Only in the island can this happen. I can't get my head around some of these decisions at times. Lots of people are asking what is happening to Cumall Moor. Well, we'll see. Dr. Allinson says, Aline, yet we waste money hand over fist on schemes that nobody wants and overpay for over-engineered projects while the basics are left underfunded. It's the worst government ever, says Ali. Well, I'll be honest with you, Ali, everybody says it's the worst government ever when any government comes in. Things always look better looking backwards. But no, we take your point and I appreciate it. Thank you also to what's happened to that £21 million surplus from Treasury, says David. We'll find out. Has anybody taken their Tesco delivery for groceries and got their groceries delivery cancelled? A short notice from Lake Road this morning. No reason given, says Ned. Well, crack it, maybe something to do with those flipping traffic lights around South Quay. They're something else, they are. You'll be forever the people playing cards in the queue there. Stephen's with us now. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I noticed in your first clip, Andy, you played about the evidence session that where the Treasury Minister told the committee that they hope to start rebuilding the island's reserves, and it comes as independent financial advice is being used to check budgets across government.
Yeah.
Well, what an interesting thing. On the Manx Radio page on Facebook, where this is reported, Kate Lord-Brennan, the MHK for Glenfaber and Peel, has written, I was in that committee session, as in asking questions. I don't recall anything being said about independent financial advisers checking budgets in departments. And who would be doing that? I think probably reporting should match what was said. Lots was asked, challenged and said. The whole sessions were online anyway if people are interested. But isn't that most peculiar that the Treasury Minister claims that this was said and yet Kate Lord-Brennan, who was there and asking questions, said nothing was mentioned about independent financial advisers. So it's a very peculiar situation we've got there, isn't it? Not that I've gone back and listened again to see is it true, but I'm absolutely sure that Kate Lord-Brennan, the MHK for Peel and Glenfarber, wouldn't have written that if it wasn't true. So I wonder, was it something possibly that the Treasury Minister spoke later to the Manx Radio reporter? I would think we do need more clarity on this because it's quite a big issue. A lot of all around the island people are asking for budgets to be clearer, and I know the Speaker would like zero budgeting, where, well, whatever the truth of that is, but I know that there's a lot of discussion about the budget and how we're still rolling down on reserves to manage the budget. So I think we do need more clarity on this to find out exactly what was said, was said, if it was said, who's doing it, and incidentally, who possibly are these independent financial advisers.
I don't know, Stephen, whether you get the feeling. It would be nice to know, in words of one syllable, what the situation is and how long it's going to be before we get back to where we were. And we take it as read. Times are tight. In fact, they've not been tighter for a long time. And it's only now coming out how much was spent during COVID. So bearing in mind, next year there's an election, and nobody likes giving bad news to the electorate. It will be nice to know, as I say, in words of one syllable, honestly, where we are financially and where we hope to be.
Well, exactly. And I absolutely am of the opinion that the introduction of more income tax should not be decided before the general election. That surely has to be an election matter. And the other final issue I'd like to leave with you and the listeners to consider is, have we ever had an audit on consultations themselves to find out, do the results of a consultation accurately reflect what the consultees have delivered in their responses? Because so many times you seem to find that many people that you speak to have said the complete opposite, or even let's look at the changes to the road race schedule. I believe the most consultees said no, we don't want these changes, and yet the changes come across anyway. So I'm not happy with a simple consultation done by Treasury over the increase in taxes. They call it a levy, health levy, should be simply left with Treasury. I don't, because I'm afraid I'm losing faith in consultations for the reasons I've outlined, and I think this is such an important matter because it goes further than just simply a health levy. It goes to the crux of the problem: is our government spending too much? And they just haven't got the ability, as you say, to deliver bad news that sometimes has to be delivered, that we've got to start balancing our budget.
You see, Stephen, living within our means. Obviously, we nearly hit the wall in 1984. You know, times were very tough. But for most people now, we've lived a life, we're kind of an outlier when it comes to budget deficits. You know, we've lived within our means for many, many, many years. Do you think there are some politicians who don't understand that, you know, we don't want to live outside our means, we want to live prudently and build up our reserves?
Well, I think, I don't know what to think, actually. All I know is that no one seems to want to grasp the nettle. Is it because there's so many employees now of government itself that no one is prepared to say, I'm sorry, that we're going to have to make a number of you unemployed.
Yeah.
But the other side of the coin is, the other people say, well, because the Isle of Man economy is booming and short of labour, this would be the ideal time to reduce the government headcount and transfer some of these employees to the private sector, who are crying out for staff. So the best time to do it would be in a time of plenty, so to speak, when things are better, rather than when things go bad, because that's the time we have to provide public money.
Okay. Can you say here and now, by the way, Stephen, are you standing for Keys next year?
I think you've asked me that twice. Who would say? Who would know? I don't know.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling today. Cheers. Now, it's 26 minutes past 12. Well, regarding trades that are cutting funding. It's not just trades they're cutting training funding for. I recently retrained as a teacher in a shortage subject, but got no funding whatsoever, says G061. When I inquired if it were available, they told me to claim from a charity fund. Now I'm qualified and working alongside other teachers they've imported, who are getting £500 per month for housing and £500 per month shortage subject allowance on top of their wages. £1,000 extra per month, £12,000 a year. Because I trained here, I got none of that. Is it fair? Tony's with us now. No. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, the answer to the previous question, no, it's not fair. And that's indicative of this government and the way they do things. We've got, I think, three things. One, Alf Cannon. It beggars belief that all of a sudden, I guess it's maybe the election is coming and he's worried about his seat, but he suddenly says, we need to go out and consult, which is the favourite saying from everybody in government. We need to consult with somebody because we don't know what we're doing. And that consult should be that we would find out, when people come to the Isle of Man, how are we going to deal with the fact that they're a strain on the economy in terms of we have to pay them, we have to do this, we have to do that, and the integral support services that they need. Now, I would have thought that before he announced 5 years ago that he wanted to bring 15,000 people here, he would have done that beforehand. Now, unless I'm very much mistaken, anybody who runs a business, that's how you approach things. And obviously, Alf doesn't run a business. Alf runs a government, which is incompetent. So you go on to the Treasury, and he's telling us now, right before he's basically going to get carved up, that the Treasury Minister thinks we should go and get a consultant to tell us how to budget. And once again, beggars belief. Because anybody who's been in business will tell you, you do a zero-based budget to start with for the year, and that zero-based budget is full of line items of what you're intending to spend your money on, if you get any, of course. And then you look at your revenue income and say, which in the case of the government will be how much you're going to get from Treasury, and say, okay, what are these items can I drop out and push to next year, or do them differently? Ask somebody else, can you take some of this on? That's how you run a business, and that's how you should run a government if you don't want to just keep spending money. So, and it beggars belief that the man in the Treasury doesn't understand that, and he needs a consultant to tell him how to do it. So you wonder, what are they saying these things for? Because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So if you go back and ask them, they'll just foo-foo, oh, no, we don't do that. Well, why not? So every department, when you come for your money from Treasury, should be presenting a list of things that they want to spend their money on. But apparently not. They just come to the Treasury and say, give us some money, and they do. And then they go off and waste it. In a lot of cases they do. Not always, but a lot of cases.
But Tony, this is fundamental to the future of the Isle of Man. We were always used, yeah. I mean, the Treasury ministers in the past used to proudly say, this is a balanced budget and we're contributing to the reserves. You know, we simply can't go on living outside our means.
So why do we need a consultant to tell us that? Surely anybody in Treasury should be able to recognise that.
Well, and presumably we've got experts in Treasury who should know that.
Well, apparently we don't have any, because they're saying we need to get a consultant to tell us how to do this. Andy, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to carve anybody up, but this just beggars belief. The level of incompetence at each department level is unbelievable. Anybody who's been a business person, which is what the old governments were full of, that we had years and years ago, anybody who's been a businessman would say, right, well, when we go out and we look at this, we need a budget, and it needs to be line by line. So I'm going to spend X amount putting new horse tram lines in. I'm going to spend X amount doing this. I'm going to spend X amount. And then you look at it and say, which of these are priorities for the people of the Isle of Man? and which are nice to haves. And you put basically two lists together, one which you definitely have to have and need, and the other which is nice to have. And you may or may not be able to say, this is justified on this basis. But we don't do that. We just say, we want to do lots of money, it's going to cost this much, give us some money. And that's what the Treasury does. And it begs the belief that we don't have anybody in there who knows what to do. Because apparently we don't, because they're going to ask a consultant and spend some more money on somebody who doesn't know anything about the Isle of Man and really is just going to do a nice result, send them a nice thing, and they'll say, oh, that's what we have to do. Just like Net Zero and all the other reports they've had, where they're faulty. The reports they get are faulty. I mean, KPMG says you should bring 15,000 people here and then 5,000 working people and you'll solve your balance of budget thing. That's great, but then we adopt that, but we don't do any of the necessary work to look at it and say, how much is this going to cost our systems? How are we going to cope with these extra 5,000 people?
Yeah.
Now, Alf decides he's got to do it. Isn't that a little bit cart and horse? In other words, cart in front, horse at the back, so we're pushing the cart. Is it just me, or is it fairly obvious that we have a completely incompetent set of government ministers?
Okay.
Or is it me?
Well, everyone will decide.
Yeah, the problem is they're not getting the true picture to be able to decide, because we're not getting told how bad things are. Because they're keeping it secret until after the elections.
Which is the point of telling the electorate bad news? Surely, you know, we're all grown-up people. We can face bad news. If there is bad news, surely they should just tell us.
Yeah, but surely then they won't get elected again. So think about that. They don't want to tell anybody bad news because it's easier to tell us a bunch of, shall we say, massage news, on the basis they're doing something about the things they made a mess of, but they won't have to fix it until after the next election. We've got these reports coming in.
Tony, you're not suggesting that the politicians are that shallow, are you?
Would I do something like that? I mean, to me, it's fairly obvious, but maybe not to everybody. And don't get me wrong, I don't think all of this comes back to the departments. I think this is lack of understanding at government level. Ministers haven't got a clue what they're talking about half the time. I mean, if you think the Treasury Minister needs to go out and get a consultation to work out how much he's spending, ask any housewife, how do you work out what your weekly budget is? She adds up the list and decides she can live within her means. That's how it works. And it's not different for running a country. It's basically the same, it's just a lot bigger.
Okay.
So you get a bigger spreadsheet.
All right, Tony.
You take care. Oh, one other thing. I don't know if you got the message about the scam that I received.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we mentioned that. Yeah. That's
well. Good. I just wanted to put it out there, because if anybody gets that and clicks on it, they'll be talking to somebody in the Philippines.
Yeah, and paying a lot of money for it. Okay, Tony.
Yeah, yeah. You take care, Andy. Have a good week. Bye.
Thanks. 25-1 on Man in Line.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Are your clothes not fitting the way they used to? CoolSculpting's patented non-invasive cooling technology is designed to target and kill fat cells with no surgery or downtime. Tracy Bell can assess your needs and advise if it's right for you. If you'd like to find out more about this revolutionary non-invasive fat reduction treatment from CoolSculpting, call us today on 613323 or visit tracybell.co.uk to book your free CoolSculpting consultation.
This is my last will and testament. To my family, I leave years of financial headaches, large legal bills, and the prospect of having to sell our home to pay for it all.
Is that the legacy you choose to leave? Without a proper will and thorough planning, it could happen. Mann Benham Advocates, experiencing wills, probate and estate planning with a friendly service to make sure the future of your loved ones are secure. Don't put it off. Call 639 350 for your free initial consultation with Mann Benham. Here for you.
Fed up sifting through applications and hitting dead ends? We get it. It's not the high-flying life a boss should have. So step away from the desk, make a coffee, and let us take the reins. Orchard Recruitment adds a refreshing change to your hiring process. Getting to know your business and culture before finding you the right people. We won't send you any old CV. We'll cherry pick. Make your next onboarding fruitful. Visit orchardrecruitment.com.
Still looking for a way out of their current poor form? Can FC Isle of Man get something to cheer about back in front of a home crowd this Saturday? The Ravens play host to Charnock Richard in the NWCFL Premier Division this weekend, looking to bring an end to a run of five straight defeats. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Charnock Richard, kicking off at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And a note in from Christine, who said, regarding the cumulative deficit and where we stand financially, in my opinion, this all changed with the introduction of ministerial government. I think it was a disastrous move where all we did was give all the power to the civil service, in particular now to chief officers in the ministries and departments, and we reduced politicians to the role of cinema commissionaires who just stand at the front of the building to give the impression of democracy when the power lies with the chief officers. Any thoughts? Well, I wonder what you have to say. And thank you also to Rosie, who just said... it was Francis first who just said the funding cuts in education regarding meals and that plumbing, just that plumbing exam. Is this down to funding needed for another teacher pay rise? Do the teachers still get their free dinner? And Rosie just said, I think the Isle of Man should pay attention to what's happening in the UK, particularly in England, as the unions seem to be tightening their grip on the British government. Witness what's happening on the London Underground and elsewhere. We should pay attention, says Rosie. Bonzo's on now. Hello, Bonzo.
Hello, yes. Listening to your contributors on Treasury and this review of how to do the budget and bringing in consultants and such like. Now, I gather... the consultants are being brought in order to help them implement zero-based budgeting. But as we all know, there are reasons why you bring in consultants to do things that are controversial. Because if people like what happens as a result of the consultants' work, you can take the credit. And if people don't like what you introduce because of the consultants' work, you can blame the consultants. Same as doing reports. The government. Government, of course, can determine, or do determine, should I say, the terms of reference by which various people are engaged to write reports on a certain subject. They will then report back within those terms of reference. And if you've done your job properly and constructed the terms of reference in the way that best suits you, you get the outcome from the report that best suits you. But even if you don't, then, of course, if people then like what the report says, you can take the credit, and if people don't like what the report says, you can blame the people who authored the report. These are all the very well-known wheezes for politicians to avoid responsibility for doing anything and to kick cans down the road, and seeing as we're now only a year away from the election, kicking cans down the road is a very politically attractive thing to do.
So, where does this leave the general public, the voters, the electorate?
Well, we're back with the same questions again. The business of government is government, not business. This sort of golden age viewed through rose-tinted spectacles of when businessmen ran the Isle of Man and didn't draw any salary for being a member of the Keys or such. Yes, well, of course they'd do that, because then they could actually determine policy and law which suited them. Why do you think they did it for nothing? You know, terribly naive. And government has become a much more complicated thing to do from the days of when we were a place that did tourism. Nowadays, of course, we're an offshore financial centre. We have all sorts of regulatory obligations with that. We also have an aircraft registry, we also have a shipping registry, which again necessitates all sorts of regulations and such like. And that which is expected from government and the state itself has grown. So we have more demands of an education sector. We have a proper higher education sector now on the Isle of Man, which we didn't before. Our healthcare is much more sizable than it was before. So all these things, you know, are expensive, and then we have inflation and everything else, so things get more expensive anyway. So the government, even though it has managed to get another 20 million quid worth of tax revenue, but that's more a question of people underestimating in their forecasts rather than there actually being any real growth. People talk about economic growth on the Isle of Man. For most people, have they seen any economic growth at all in the past decade? Have they seen their living standards or salaries rise at all in real terms over the past decade? Somehow I don't think so. So where is this growth going? And that's the problem. We have a cake where a damn big slice goes to the wealthiest, and not enough goes to everybody else. And everybody else's pieces of cake have to be much smaller in order to give the wealthy larger bits of cake. So that kind of welfare state is the key problem.
You mentioned in the past, Bonzo, about raising tax for high net worth individuals. Do you not consider that a risky move?
No, because they will always have a tax deal that is lower than UK. They will always have advantages to that. The top rate of tax in UK is now, 40%? Could go higher. I doubt, you know, even the Conservatives in their last days before the election, they couldn't dare pull tax down, top rate of tax down lower than 40%. No, we will always have the capacity to have a tax competitive situation for higher earners and high net worth individuals. But those high net worth individuals and higher earners have, you know, had a pretty good ride over 25 to 30 years. No, and it's now time for them to start paying back.
Okay. Well, here's the gamble. The gamble then, Bonzo. At the moment, it's 200,000. What would you put it to?
I think we have to look at certainly unlimited, and I think we certainly have to look at no upper earnings limit on national insurance contributions.
And you think that would be a relatively safe gamble?
Yes, because they will have to pay far more in UK. And that is why such high net worth individuals and high earners are here on the Isle of Man. It's not for the nightlife, and it's not, you know, for at least 9 months of the year, the weather. It's because it is the nearest tax competitive jurisdiction to UK, and of course it is the only nearby tax competitive jurisdiction where you can freely buy property and move in.
Okay, right. Well,
yeah,
it's something to worry about for next year, but the clock is ticking, Bonzo, as you rightly say, our health system is far more comprehensive than it used to be, health and social care system. So the costs are rising almost inexorably. And at some point, a politician somewhere has got to level with the population and, you know, come clean and just say, look, this is where we are and this is where we need to be and this is what it's going to cost.
Well, hasn't that, isn't that what Laurie Hooper, I think, in particular, has been saying for the past 18 months, 2 years?
OK, all right. Well, we'll speak to Mr. Hooper, hopefully fairly shortly, on Man in Line. Thanks for calling, yep. Bonzo.
OK, then. Thanks. Bye.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Well, I was mentioning Juan McGuinness, the Ramsey Town Commissioner. Earlier this week, a written Timwell question revealed there's still no set date for a financial motion to replace Cummel Moor in Ramsey. The original plan was for a 45-bed residential home with a day centre. Claire Christian, MHK's, confirmed her department and Manx Care are now reviewing the design to align with the government's Home First model. Well, this has caused frustration in the north, with some residents saying it highlights a lack of investment in the north. Ramsey Town Commissioner Juan McGuinness.
It's easy to say Cummel Moor is a clear priority, but the complete lack of any meaningful action over the last 2+ years, I think, evidences that it's not a clear priority. And I have no real hope of anything happening before the next general election. This just feels like another example of Ramsey in the north being second best on the island, that we have a facility that is staffed with great people and provides a really important service but needs to be updated for the benefit of the whole community in the north and the island as a whole. And there's just no investment and nothing but glib platitudes from the government.
I mean, ideally, what would you like to see on the site? You know, if you could kind of snap your fingers and have it fixed tomorrow, what would you like to see, or would you see it moved? What would be the goal?
So what was agreed a number of years ago is a sort of land swap with Coolnamara, which is the sheltered housing that sat behind Cummel Moor. Ultimately, what we have on that square footage is an awful lot of space that's available. It's in the town centre. It's ideal for exactly what it is, which is residential care. And what I would like is pretty much what had been agreed a number of years ago, which is a state-of-the-art facility that looks after a good portion of our increasingly elderly population. I think this is more than just a facility and the wider picture of investment. There's the human element at the back of this. It's not just the residents who are in Cummel Moor at the present or the future residents. It's the many families which the government's or Manx Care's current Home First policy are picking up the slack. The carers, the family members, the friends, the relatives who are putting themselves into the ground in order to support a lack of investment in our elderly healthcare provision, where that is clearly one of the biggest growing industries on the island because of our ageing population. And that human element can't be forgotten about.
Juan McGuinness, Ramsey Town Commissioner. The Health Minister says the project is firmly on the agenda and says the government is committed to delivering a modern, flexible facility in the heart of Ramsey. Note that, in the heart of Ramsey, one that supports people to receive the right care and close to home as well. The future of Cummel Moor. Thank you to Nick, who dropped a note in and just said, talking about building up debt for the future and the state of our reserves, I think anybody who has children, and particularly anybody who has grandchildren, should tonight, perhaps over the dinner table, look them in the eye and feel confident about the future. Would they be able to tell their children and possibly grandchildren in the future, long after they've gone, that it was them and their generation that built up the debt that those children and grandchildren are having to pay back, says Nick. That's a heavy one, isn't it?
Where has a 5-star selection of hand-picked quality cars?
Manx Car Store!
Where are you guaranteed a 5-star friendly professional service?
Manx Car Store!
And where has 5-star prices on cars covering all budgets? That's right, Manx Car Store on Kirby Farm Industrial Estate, open 7 days a week. To see their range of quality cars and over 250 5-star reviews, just visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook. Manx Car Store, a place you can really trust.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Don't believe what?
A small stone just flew off the strimmer and shattered the conservatory window.
No problem. I'll call out Manx Glass and Glazing.
Oh, can they fix it?
Yes. Mum's glass shattered and they soon replaced it.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing supplies and repairs, including broken or failed double glazing units, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
Scrap metal coming out of your ears? Then there's only one place to call. Castaignes Scrap Metal, of course. Castaignes pay top prices for lead, brass, copper, aluminium and stainless steel, as well as ferrous metals, scrap vehicles, and they're even licensed to scrap lead acid batteries. Drop it off today or Castaignes can come and take it away. Castaignes Scrap Metal, Foxtel Road, call 801-337.
The copper network is being switched off, affecting Wi-Fi and home phones if you are not already on fibre. To help with the transition, we'll be hosting drop-in events across the island where you can speak with our dedicated community partner for personalised assistance. The next event will take place on Wednesday the 17th of September from 2 till 4pm at Ramsey Town Hall. No appointments needed, just drop in within that time frame. See mt.im/futureready for more information.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
I just want to remind you that anything you hear on Manx Radio on Man in Line is opinion. It's an opinion programme. And if you have a contrary opinion, your opinion is welcome. Well, it's sought. If you can call during the show, by all means do, or if you want to leave a message on the answer phone, it's 682-631. Leave a message any time of day or night, and we'll be happy to hear from you. But the right of reply is always there. I, too, have had my order cancelled this morning, says Carolyn Ramsey. This is Tesco. No real notice. I've gone back to them and suggested a small compensation voucher. No reply. What's going on at Tesco? Isn't it supposed, says Andrea, to be the Auditor General that should be checking the finances and spending of government departments? The Auditor General is supposed to be independent, although I'm not sure how that works when he's been appointed by the government. A message in says Alison's exact words in response to Kate Law Brennan's question to the committee were, in July we went out for expressions of interest to get independent financial advice to come in and do that piece of work. This is Dr. Allenson. We've started that now. That's a large bit of work going into granular detail into every single department, looking at their expenditure lines, looking at what are their statutory services, looking at what other services that they provide, trying to allocate exactly what the budget is to each one. That was what Dr. Rallinson said in that meeting. And remember, says Jim, the pink book is always there. The budget book is always there. Yes, but times were when we used to build reserves every year, when Treasury ministers would say we've contributed to the reserves. And as it stands at the moment, those reserves are depleted. 313, the perfect storm. Government increases the workforce by thousands who bring their dependents in while investing in AI, which will reduce the need for workers, says G. Well, will AI reduce the need for workers? Really? Really? AI? Would you have an AI barman? It's ridiculous to say that we've cut apprenticeship funding, but this month the 1,000 students at the university across are going back with £10 million we pay every year for university fees, says Dick. Worse still, a third of those students never return to live on the Isle of Man to work or pay taxes here. So let's stop giving £3 million a year to the ones who won't live here again and use it to fund the apprenticeship scheme. And by the way, After COVID, Alf Cannon said on Manx Radio, through prudent fiscal management, they'd made £200 million in stocks and shares during COVID. Is that true? I remember something like that. I can't remember the exact amount, but of course the stock market dropped when COVID happened and then recovered. So you would assume if they got people who knew their way around the stock market, then they would have invested appropriately. Maybe Dr. Allinson should ask Mr. Cannon, or listen to the interview in the archive. Oh, I need your help. And we're talking about a vintage Manx Radio presenter back in the 1960s. We've been checking through the archive for some photos or any references to Stu Lord. Stu Lord was on Manx Radio in the 1960s. Now, if you have any information, whether you knew Stu or you have photos of Stu or any recordings of Stu, we'd love to get some Stu Lord. It was the law at one time that you had to have somebody called Stu on Manx Radio. Anybody know anything about Stu Lord? Oh, thanks to Howie on the phones today.
WINT.